I've never seen anything like this.
Well, you're probably lucky.
Welcome to it. Here it goes.
Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheists, official podcast of the United Church of Bacon, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' websites, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes. Hey, wait a minute. Please go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast for free, okay?
Yeah.
Think about that. It's free if you go to iTunes. Write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us.
Yeah.
You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly 10 bucks per year.
Huh?
What?
What?
Are you going to say something?
Why?
Because this is the part where you say something funny.
Meh.
Well, at least insult me or something.
Belly button!
Son of a bitch. God damn it.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. The show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you. Mr. Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Karen Garst, Reza Asghari, and Eliza Engman. You know these folks from showbiz
and comedy and reason.
I'm so disappointed I missed the content.
It's hard to catch the content,
guys. It really is. I was waiting for it, and both times I missed it.
Yeah, before we started the show, Reza said, you know, when you do the content thing, I want to jump in. And I'm like, do it. And then no.
Jumping.
The first time I was a couple seconds late, and I wanted to yell out, it's my first time. Content.
You'll get him next time, Score.
Next time, we'll put a script on your side of the table so you know when it's coming.
Perfect.
Karen, right. We say content instead of content. So
I got it.
People have said that we've ruined the content for them.
I've had emails from people saying they can't be at a work meeting without chuckling when someone says content.
Yeah, and they probably say it wrong, too.
Well, yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people fired.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Yeah. We make things up, too, on occasion. So, welcome back, Reza.
Pleasure to be back. Thank you. It's been a while. I missed you guys.
Aww.
Yeah, it has been a while, hasn't it?
It has.
Your tweet the other day killed me.
Which one?
No, it was on Facebook, actually. I think it was on Facebook where you posted, what's the joke?
Oh, the most recent. I know what
you're talking about. I asked you to tell me if you formulated that joke reverse engineered from the word.
Yeah, which was actually...
I don't want to give away the punchline as you tell it now.
I'm starting a metal band. I'm starting an Islamic metal band called Mecca Death.
There you go.
That was the joke.
So I asked you on Facebook. I said, you had the phrase Mecca Death and worked backwards with that joke, I hope, because if not, that means you've probably been perusing ISIS recruitment sites.
I actually did think of the word first and then go backwards from there. So you were correct, but it doesn't mean I haven't been looking at ISIS recruitment sites.
I'm trying to help you here, man.
I'm just saying my job isn't paying well and they have good dental.
They do?
What the hell? Yeah, their dental is don't worry, you don't need them.
Not for long.
All right.
This is what my poor girlfriend has to deal with at home all the time.
Every day, every hour.
Just finding rolls of duct tape and little transistors around the house. So that's what you've been doing. Bitch.
It's so adorable. She thinks transistors and duct tape make bombs. Oh.
I'm so innocent.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So this is what we talk about on the show. Just letting you know.
Yeah. Well, he's Muslim. He's Muslim. So
I like how you said that very accusatory.
Oh, yeah. That's how I'm going to say it when they come for you.
He's the Muslim.
There he is over there. He's a neighbor of mine. I'll drive you right over.
I'm just going to look at him and be like, ¿por qué?
You do look kind of Mexican.
You can pull off the whole, yeah.
Practice the Spanish.
Yeah, yes, I can do at least like seven other ethnicities depending on my facial hair.
Like they're not going to find your transistors and duct tape. Shut up. Why do you need the transistors and duct tape, Mr. Mexico Man?
That's actually for our Tuesday afternoons. It comes right after Taco Tuesday. That's actually part of Taco Tuesday.
It is part of Taco Tuesday.
And Karen, you've written a book.
I have.
That always blows my mind.
People not read. It's not because you're a woman. Sorry, couldn't.
No.
I didn't even think that. Yeah. Really, shame on you.
No one reads
that
anymore.
Never would have entered my mind.
Where can people hear this book?
Hear the book. Well, that's coming.
Oh, good. I always ask that because nowadays that's pretty much what people do.
Yeah, it's available in paperback and cool. Kindle, and they're recording the audio version. I keep getting little emails from my publisher saying, how do you pronounce this?
Oh,
how
my
do
goodness.
You pronounce that?
I can so relate we're to doing, that right now.
Yeah, we're working hard on a book. She's doing a voice for a book right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
I
don't know that we can publicly say we're making this yet, so
no,
I'm not
yet.
Saying it yet. But tune in next time. To find out which book Heather's doing the reading for. Is, I don't know. What is it? The voice talent for? I don't know.
I'm the mouth.
I will let you know what title Heather's the mouth for next time you tune in. But tune in isn't even a thing people do anymore. It's not even a phrase. Download. That would be it.
Check for your pop-ups.
What?
Your pop-ups.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Notification. Oh, my God. Notifications.
Karen, what's your book about?
Well, the book is Women Beyond Belief, Discovering Life Without Religion. And you may remember that in 2014, the United States Supreme Court, we will call it SCOTUS, issued a decision in Hobby Lobby. And they basically said that because of the religious views, this corporation didn't have to provide certain forms of birth control to its employees. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be having lunch with a friend of mine who's an author 2 days after the decision was handed out. And she said, well, you should write a book, Karen. And I said, the only thing I get pissed about is religion.
Yeah.
So went home and decided to start calling friends and see who wanted to tell their story about leaving religion. And then went to some atheist groups in Portland, recruited more, got on social media. So I've got 22 women, including myself, who tell their personal stories about leaving religion.
Wow.
Nice.
That's great.
That's fantastic. Wow. Well, what was the most amazing story you got for your book? Can you give us a synopsis?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of them. The one that's kind of interesting, Seal, which several of the women use pseudonyms because their family don't know they're atheist. And she was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. She went to college, and you know, you're supposed to be a good girl, and you're only supposed to date other Jehovah's Witnesses. That's all you're supposed to do, right? Well, she met somebody who wasn't. Mm. Yep, and she fell in love with him.
Well, that's a heathen.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. And guess what they did?
They ostracized her.
They killed the guy.
They made love.
Oh, no. Well, we're still in the good part.
I was jumping ahead in the story.
So they were, you know, cool, and then somebody else turned them into the elders.
Unbelievable.
So she got still called hidden. Before... a group of three, oh, guess which gender?
Men.
Men.
Were they men? They happen to be men?
Of course they're men.
Hmm. What are the odds of that?
Of course. And
50-50 chance.
Basically told her that he was a tool of Satan. That's, yep, you have been cavorting with the devil. It's tool of Satan. And they left the room and came back and decided not to disfellowship her. But it was at that point she totally lost her faith.
Right.
And wow. I can give you a happy ending to the story.
Yes.
They got married and they have two cute little kids.
Oh, yay.
I just want to say that Karen gave me a happy ending. That's a great story. I'm glad it ended that way.
That's the one thing I've always noticed, though, when you mention that, is like people, no matter how deeply religious they are, how stuck in their beliefs they are, the one thing that will always get them to just let go of that completely is finding that like thing that they love or that person that they love.
Good sex.
Yeah.
Sex always trumps religion.
There you go.
Yeah. Like, sorry, Jesus, I got a finger in my butt and I'm good to go.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, and part of this story, it's so hypocritical because one of the elders was having an affair with a married woman.
Yeah, oh, it's
God.
Always
God.
Yeah, yeah. While he's judging her.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's not
you
married.
Cannot be involved with someone who is not a member of this society that we have built just for us.
And I'm assuming the married woman was part of the Jehovah's Witness.
Of course she was.
Yeah, well, you can do
counted.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Jehovah's Witness. I mean, well, the Jehovah's, are they, they're not plural marriage, right? That's the Mormons
that's
only, right?
That's the Ellis, yeah.
Yeah, for years I confused those two.
I'll tell you what Jehovah was witnessing, a hand job.
Several.
And now we've called you a Muslim so far, right? I say called you because that's kind of what I do.
I think twice at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Pointed mockingly calling you this thing.
It's not a complete show unless you say it five times at like minimum.
Yeah. If I call you a Muslim five times, you blow up, right?
No, it's just
it's three. Right?
Okay.
Actually,
two,
I turn into
Muslim.
A pork chop.
Three.
Muslim juice, Muslim juice, Muslim juice. Oh, my God, he came. How the hell did that work? So you, I know you've told it on the show before, but every time you're here until everyone who listens understands this, we're going to go through your religious background and where you've landed. I mean, you're not an atheist. Is that right?
No, not particularly. Like, I don't have any direct belief one way or the other. I'm kind of right in the middle where I'm like, hey, it could be possible or it could not.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good place to get the Muslims. You know what I mean? I mean, if you get the Muslims in that place, they're not apt to put on a blowy up vest.
You know, I've always said the problem where people think like Iran and all these places, like countries that are heavily Muslim and religion, that they think they're so evil and just like horrible is because they just need to incorporate a little drugs and sex. Like they're so stuck to the religion, just go fuck a little and do some blow. You'll be great. Like I don't care about what was I mad about with those people.
Yeah, well, blow's not good for that because you'll fight on blow. I'm going to go Molly. Do some Molly. Even marijuana, for that matter. But, yeah, there's no alcohol in a lot of the Muslim nations.
No, not at all.
Yeah. They're still pissed. I don't understand that.
That's partly why they're pissed. If you gave somebody a couple of shots of Jim Beam, like, they'd be fine. He wouldn't.
Those are the fuckers
anymore.
Always fighting in the bar. You're an idiot. You got to study your drugs.
No, but with Muslim people, I'm telling you, they have like they're this passionate thing where they'll just get drunk and they'll just start telling you about kebabs and shit and like it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
There's really like yeah, it'll be
it's so funny. The sentence you just said out of my mouth, pure racism. But you can say that.
It's cultural.
Kebabs and shit.
Oh yeah, it's cultural. Yeah.
I know. Like living in the South for so long, I have like a weird Southern Muslim thing going on.
Yeah, I guess you do.
Like, hey, Farshee, you want to go over and get some rugs and kebabs?
I like it. I like it.
See? Southern accent's really good. He can blend in the South. He looks like a good old boy. You know what I mean?
Every comic should have a good Southern accent because that's every dumb guy in your show.
Well,
right?
That's great because I'll be sitting around with my family and like, I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, y'all, how you doing over there? Want some more sweet tea?
Damn. How are you not split personality, dog?
Dog.
That's hilarious. Did I say dog?
He's called him dog.
I'm tired. That's what we do. We call each other dog.
Keep throwing stuff out, and I love how Heather keeps pointing out the exact moments when you're old.
All right, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mamma Mia, that's as one as spicy meatball. Have I ever said that before?
No.
Okay, ROAD.com/Emery and buy the damn thing.
What's the worst part about throwing a party in space?
What?
You'll have to plan it.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. Now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Karen Garst, Reza Asghari, and Eliza Ingman.
I just want to point out something Karen said, which I appreciate very much. She said, oh, the effort and time and would you say, what did you say exactly to put into this podcast?
I said, did you do this every week? This must take tons of time to put together.
It does.
It does take a lot of time. Heather does all the work now. I used to do all the editing and everything top to bottom, and then I really got burnt out. I just got burnt out to the degree where I said to Heather, do we want to keep doing the show? She goes, I'll do all the editing and stuff. I'll do it so we can keep it going. So Heather's the reason we're continuing to do it. I started getting too much work. I started getting too burnt out on the editing of this, and so she just picked up the ball and ran with it. Eventually, I'll probably end up back with it.
I have a blog, and when somebody does a guest post, I'm like on vacation for the week. It's like so cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Do you know what the name of my blog is?
I think you should tell us and the viewers.
Please do.
So I hired this marketing guy because he said, you can't just write a book. No, you have to have a YouTube channel, you have to have Twitter, and you have to have a blog. So the first thing he threw out was, as a name, was Godless Grandmother. And I said, could we not emphasize the age so much? Would that be okay? So then he came up with Faithless Feminist.
That's really
So it's Faithless Feminist. But I am a woman of the 60s. I had no idea how that word has changed.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I actually wanted to ask you about that. Like, do you consider anything that women in their 20s do now as feminism at all?
Well, to me, feminism is the old 60s definition. It means gender equality.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the third wave of feminism saying, you know, there's other things that come together, whether it's gender identity or race, that impact that usually expand it and make things more difficult, obviously. But I was on this. I usually post to these atheist Facebook groups, my blog every week, and there was this one called No Gods, No Masters, Atheist Feminist. Well, that's cool, you know.
Yeah.
And Shanna Babylonia is another blogger, and I did this one. We said we need more secular men. Now that's probably not a topic I would generally jump to, but we did it. And I got all this
backlash.
Oh my God, all this pushback. I recorded it and then did a blog about it, so I got back.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just amazing.
You're a goddamn gender traitor.
Oh, it was like, we need more men. I said, let's look at the first wave of feminism, you know, the fight for abolition and the fight for the suffrage. Would we have gotten suffrage if men hadn't supported us?
No.
No, of course not. And one of the women said, oh, what is she going to do? Bake them cakes? You know, and they kicked me off.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So it was like, okay, things have changed a little since the 60s.
Wow. Heather, a lot. And first of all, I'm going to say it. I've never said this on the show before. I'm going to say it right now because it's something I really do think. The current wave of feminism, and I actually think it's a fourth wave, not just a third. I think it's more a fourth wave. The current wave of feminism that we're all irritated by, many of us are, that we're talking about right now is... It's coming out of girls of a new age, younger girls. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, and here's the problem, I think, in a nutshell. When I was a kid, I did and said really, really badly thought out things. I wasn't really clear on my path to accuracy. I was all over the roadmap, right? Emotionally, I was a molested kid, and I was becoming this artist, and I was a pissed off guy, and like, fuck my mom, and fuck the family, and fuck my uncle who fucked me, and I had all this shit, but I didn't have a podcast to spew it out across the world, right? Mm-hmm. So so the world didn't have to suffer my confusion, my anger.
It's over. The comic has to suffer now.
Yeah, the comic guy that was in me got to excise some of that on stage and turn it into comedy. So I went through these processes that brought me to a more thoughtful place. So these feminists that we make fun of, that irritate us and are out of their minds sometimes, we're really just it's a new world because they have a way by which to solidify themselves as this thing that hasn't really thought things through completely and well yet. They're young people making mistakes that are locked in time forever for everybody to look at and make fun of and point at. Now, every once in a while, you'll get an Andrea Dworkin who hangs out for fucking ever and says that it's rape just to look at my vagina. That's going to happen. That happened. Dworkin is 70s, I think, right? Every once in a while, you're going to get someone like that, and then you'll have a few people who gather around that person and then goes their whole lives behaving and thinking that way. But generally speaking, these girls that are screaming into a camera that this is wrong and male privilege and white privilege and cisgender and all that stuff, they're going to see, most of them eventually are going to see that they were part of a bankrupt movement with regard to speech and exchange of ideas. They'll eventually grow up and understand that.
Oh, I think that's true. And I think a lot of the stuff that's happening on campuses, you know, it's happening on campuses. If I just go around and ask women I know, younger than me, of course, what is feminism, they'll basically come out with gender equality.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's some things that maybe started out in women's studies and got a little carried away, and it's happening on campuses, but I don't see that continuing on.
We got emotional, Heather and me, through this process of learning about what many refer to as SJWs, social justice warriors. We got pretty frustrated by it, and Heather actually started saying, I'm done calling myself a feminist.
I'm not a feminist. I'm just a woman. Just me. I do what I think is right, and I'm not in anyone's group.
She found herself alienated from that movement.
Because I didn't agree with people. I didn't agree with some really loud people. So that means I'm a gender traitor and that I, you know.
So we went to a friend's house to shoot an interview and with him. And Heather mentioned this when we were all kind of hanging out in his kitchen afterward. And he read her the goddamn Riot Act. And I think kind of
set me straight.
Yeah, really. Which she agreed when we walked out of there. What did Minchin say?
He was basically
say?
Like,
Tim
don't
Minchin,
you,
we were at his place.
He's like, basically, don't you dare not call yourself a feminist. Mm-hmm. We need feminists like you. We need women who have a sensibility about them and think with reason and logic and not are just emotional about everything and jump on bandwagon. So we need you to call yourself a feminist so that you can show other people that there are people like you out there. And I thought, oh, that's the sweetest thing anyone's ever yelled at me.
Yeah, and, it was really great. And he's just, right. Yeah. He's absolutely right. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater is a stupid phrase, but it sure fits here.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I love her so
much. I mean,
much
babe, don't throw the babes out with the bathwater.
The dames. The
dames. Dames. Frauds, tomatoes.
The birds.
That's honestly one of the reasons I love her so much is because she'll go on like a feminist website or one of these newer ones where they don't understand how feminism works, and it's just like younger privileged girls just yelling loudly.
There's so much irony in the privilege from which these girls are screaming. That's the weird part.
And she'll get on there and be like, oh, I love cooking and taking care of my man. I only speak when I'm spoken to, just to start them up and just like get them going.
Just to trigger them and just be like, you know what, you calm down.
Now, do you give trigger warnings before you trigger them?
Oh, God, no.
I call them hair trigger warnings. That's what I think we should all refer to them as.
But no one's going to listen to you if you're shrill and screaming. And that goes for everybody. If you're going to be angry and combative, people aren't going to respect you. They're not going to listen to you. They're just going to shut down and be like, you're an asshole.
They're going to make fun of you. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
I don't
you're
know
going
if
to be
I
the
agree
laughing
with
stock.
That. I don't agree with that at all because you said it so calmly and sweetly. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. Great news, in fact. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the Donate More If You'd Like button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. So be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. And please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. What do you do when chemists die?
I don't know.
Bury them.
Horrible.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Ardent Atheist, Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Karen Garst, Reza Asghari, and Eliza Engman. I haven't messed up anybody's name today.
Not at all. You've been doing
for
great.
For once.
What
I'm impressed.
The hell? Why are you so
yeah,
negative?
And you should be, because you're lucky he hasn't screwed you up completely.
Yeah. Garst is an easy word, right?
But it's not spelled like Karen that you wouldn't recognize, I think. So
huh?
That might throw you off.
He's confusing me.
It's an easy name to read because you're familiar with it, is what he's saying.
I've heard
I'm just
of that.
Translating the. I was about to say gook.
Why would you say gook?
I don't know, because it's so bad.
Heather's not good at slurs. Jesus
honey.
Christ.
Well, you know why that's you should say the name Garst.
Garst? What?
Well, Khrushchev came to the United States in the 60s, and he visited the Garst corn farm because he bought corn seed. Uh-huh. From the Garst, and it's a relative of my husband.
I'll be damned.
Yep.
Wow.
Put
what
it in the
part of the country is Garst
oh, it's like
corn
Iowa
feed
or something
from?
Like that.
Yeah, I grew up in Kansas City is why I...
Yeah.
Yeah, the great joke that... What... This is my impression of someone rolling a car in Nebraska. I think that was the joke. And it's corn sky. Corn, corn sky. Corn sky.
That's pretty
great
much
joke.
It. Yeah.
It's a great joke.
That's it.
Iowa. Works in Iowa. Works in yeah. Nebraska. And you do wheat sky if you're in Kansas.
In North Dakota, where I'm from.
Yeah.
It's wheat.
Cool.
Sorghum in Indiana.
sorghum
that's
sky.
That's not as easy to
that
say.
That is a fucking mouthful.
Horrible.
Yeah, you might have to do wheat flax.
Wheat flax. So, Karen, you brought some excerpts.
By the way, is there a copy of your book on microfiche for people in Emery's age range?
Boy, son of a bitch. Damn it, I can't wait till he blows himself up.
That's funny.
Microfiche. Who here has ever looked at microfiche in a library?
Have.
All of us?
Okay.
All of us, yeah. We're all
from... I thought he got me. I thought I was going to be
we're
the
all from
here.
The old age of where people still use libraries. I think the last generation like was us of people that used libraries.
Oh, my God.
I finally got rid of my 1957 Collier's Encyclopedia I grew up with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you know, I got rid of it too early because I don't know whether it had the word atheist in it.
Oh,
because I could have looked.
It does.
Does it?
What year was it printed?
1957.
You know, that's a good one. I'll bet you money it was in there.
Well, I'm going to check.
Yeah, now I want to know.
But I carried that set around, you know, for 40 years because it was just...
Crazy.
That is what we had growing up. Yeah. And if it wasn't in Collier's Encyclopedia, you didn't know it.
We had the 1979 edition.
Oh, there you
and
go.
My mom just sold her house in September, October, and that went... with it and
wow.
All the reports, but we kept Fiscus to Germanicus because it had clear slides of the anatomy of the frog and pictures of gemstones. So my sister and I are taking turns custody of Fiscus to Germanicus.
Oh, I should have kept one. Yeah,
it is. It's very
and nobody wanted it. I had a
nobody
recycle
wanted it.
It.
Yeah, no yeah. one wanted them. It was yeah. so sad.
Yeah, you got to keep at least one of those just to preserve for history's sake.
Yeah.
I have a dictionary that has my name in it, so I kept that. And it says...
You bought that yesterday.
Oh, I have a dictionary an old boyfriend gave me once to settle a dispute.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh. Still have it.
Oh, also, wow. We're going to start using that as like a way to say, I don't believe you in arguments. Fiscus to Germanicus.
That's right.
That's great.
That's right.
That's good.
Yeah, the only reason I kept the dictionary is because it's such a perfect description in the dictionary of Emery. abrasive material.
There you go.
Yeah. How great is that?
That's a good
one.
Put
that on a shirt.
That's all me.
Yeah, you should actually put that on a shirt. That'd be great.
Yeah, I should do
license
that.
License plate frame?
Yeah.
Nobody says
that.
Emery board today, do they?
I ever once in a while. It's been a long time since someone said Emery board.
I can say
to
Emery
me.
Board. Emery board. Yeah,
right? Growing up, that was the gag.
That was a thing.
Emery board. Like the Emery board? Yeah.
There you go.
E-M-E-R-Y, not E-M-O-R-Y. I'm bored, not at college.
There you go.
Yeah, you are bored.
Have you done Emory College? Have you ever played there? You do the college circuit at all?
I've done a few, but not in a long time. I never got like actually on the circuit itself. Like I just kind of did shows here and there with different people at different colleges.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of all independent for the most part.
Right. Because the colleges would suck you right up, man. Because, you know, that whole, we got to book people who are brown and wear turbans because we're
not
all inclusive.
Not anymore, though,
because
all the colleges with the younger, like you said, SJW type of kids, it's getting so PC now, it's hard to say a lot of things at college shows without them getting
Can't
offended.
Offend anybody, yeah.
They're safe spaces now.
It is amazing that we've come around that corner.
Yeah, it's
when
ridiculous.
I was a kid, colleges is where they wanted to be offended.
Yeah, that's where that you used to perform because you could get away with anything as a comic, where now you get scolded for what you say as a comic at colleges.
Probably get picketed.
Yeah. Yep.
Run out of town on a rail.
Karen,
hard and feathered.
Yeah.
I open every college show with, so I was hanging out with my non-gender specific multiracial human person friend, soy farming our vegan solar paneled farm. Did I cover all my bases?
You've risen.
Wow, well, that was good.
Yeah, that's good. You've risen to the occasion. That's well done there.
Thank
that's
you.
Phenomenal.
He's adapted.
Yeah. Karen, do you have an excerpt you could read for us?
Yeah.
This is one from a woman who's in her 60s. And it's just a paragraph from her essay, reflecting back on what she missed out on. The reward offered for being willing to live a puritanical life was heaven, a place of gold and pearls. But the dangling carrot, the pie in the sky, did not compensate for the losses of pleasure and joy and dancing. One had to give up independent thinking in order to please God, and a woman had to give up more than a man. A woman had to accept a submissive role at all times. Without those childhood brainwashings, I might have become a more outspoken person earlier. I think I would have been a great lawyer. I could have been a judge. It was religious tradition that told me I couldn't. Instead, I did the traditionally acceptable female tasks, made many potluck dishes, knocked on doors to pass out religious pamphlets, taught Bible classes, and packed my reluctant child off to church camp. Those would not have been choices either of us would have made if I hadn't been indoctrinated. I hated cooking, and my son had an incredibly terrible time at camp. We both would have made different choices had I been reared with a sense of autonomy and the will to fight the traditions of religious patriarchy. And one of the reasons I wrote this book and told these stories and had women tell the stories is because we all need models. Mm. You know, and when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, women were teachers, nurses, or secretaries. And it isn't that you couldn't have been a lawyer, but you never saw anyone like yourself who was a lawyer. And it makes it hard. But once you see a model, you say, oh, I can do that. Yeah, that person's an anthropologist. Cool, I could do that. And so I think that's really, really important. And hopefully, if a woman's reading this book and she's kind of thinking of leaving religion, she can identify with one of the authors and say, hey, she had it tougher than me. If she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Or here's some really good pointers. I'm going to take these, and this is what I'm going to say to my friends. I could go with these women too.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when you look at the bestsellers on atheism and Amazon, any given time, 100 of them, only 6 are written by women. Hmm. So I think there's 40% of atheists are considered to be women out of some statistics I've seen. But in terms of writing or speaking out, if you go to YouTube and do debates, they're almost all men. And it's really unfortunate that more women aren't speaking out. So that's another reason I did it.
Do you ever watch The Atheist Experience on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they great?
Mm-hmm.
There's often a woman there representing, which is really, really great, too. Did you go to the Women's March in your area?
Oh, I went to Salem. Yeah, in the rain.
Oregon. Wow.
Of course it was raining.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, we had a great time. And there were thousands of people there, and we heard from a lot of different women talking about different issues, and it was great. And then we marched around near the Capitol.
And I went to the one here in L.A., and it was just the most amazing, positive, loving kind of experience. And that sounds weird. You're
so
just
disappointed.
Like,
I missed it.
But no one was there. No one was there for any bad reasons or nefarious reasons. Everybody was so excited, and everybody was just like, "Oh, we're going!"
So I heard it was just awesome. It was just an awesome time to be in a place to be. Was that day?
I couldn't even hear what the speeches were. The people were just saying, the speakers were saying, amazing. It was just so great to be around, and we'll look at all the different signs.
But
and see people smiling.
Did you have your pink ears?
No, and I want them. I still want them.
I'm going to knit one.
It was a really great day for America, because my daughter and my girlfriend went out on that march.
And she's never marched before.
A solid 3 hours of personal masturbation time. It was so great.
Why didn't I see that coming?
You did kind of see it coming before I got there.
Yeah, we were sitting at home, and she wanted to go. I was just like, shut up, woman, and finish folding my laundry.
No, my poor cat was on death's door.
We actually had to take her cat to the vet and stuff, so we couldn't go.
And I nursed her through it. She'll be 17 April 24th.
Holy crap. Holy cat.
Yeah, we thought that this was it.
Yeah.
And
you were ready for it. She bounced back?
She's...
Oh, great. Now she's going to put you through that again.
I know.
Fucking selfish bitch.
She's such a dick. She really is.
Well, I'm glad your cat is okay.
Thank you. Me too. But my best friend's coming for the Science March. We're going to the Science March.
Oh, got to do the Science March.
Yeah, what's the date on that again? I was asked if I was going to do
that. April 22nd of it.
Yeah. It's a Saturday.
Yeah. And then the Tax March is the 15th. And then the Science
There's a Tax March?
Yeah, the 15th.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, Corey's coming. Yeah, my best friend's coming. He's all... very encouraging and very supportive, and he'll be there.
Well, you know, you talked about science. It's real interesting. When I was growing up, there wasn't any intelligent design, creationism, anything like that. We took, you know, ninth grade, we had evolution, and nobody left the class, and that's really come later. And that, to me, is just appalling.
Right.
That we're not, it's just like what Trump did on climate change.
Yeah.
It's like how many, you know, 99.99% say, we are causing some of the problems in climate, so we're not going to do anything about it.
And growing up in the church, evolution was thought of as the devil.
What church?
I grew up in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church.
Oh, yeah, Missouri Synod. You couldn't dance, could you? My parents were Missouri Synod, but I wasn't. I was
no dancing.
LCA.
And LCA, we, ELCA, we were taught that they were bad. They didn't know what they were doing. It was just so much ridiculous. But evolution was just, if you did not believe in what the Bible said about creation, you were committing a sin, and you were essentially shunned at the church. It was a little very, very jarring for a child having to sit through. I think we talked about this last time. We had to sit through this movie. It was just called Origins, and it was all basically trying to prove science wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really come about since the 90s and the wedge strategy and all of those kind of things. If you want to read a really good book, Abby Hafer wrote a book, The Not-So-Intelligent Designer. And she's a biologist and talks about all the things that I don't think were intelligently designed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like some of the things in the human male that are outside the body, that are inside on the others, so they're more protected, but not on humans.
If that was intelligently designed, it wouldn't look so weird and creepy.
Yeah.
Exactly. If it was intelligently designed, I could push it back around and put it in my own butt.
Oh, how about pain in childbirth? Excuse me.
Yeah.
And also, no dancing? What?
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. My tits. Justin. Emery's SJW Wank Wipe Sock.
Aww.
Shiny Disco Tape. I'm serious.
Wow, that's really someone that put was, their name in?
Donald cute. Trump's Reality. Mm-hmm. Big Paul. These were some of the people chatting. Booger Bender, Mom, Steve Hill, Jennifer Jones, Trevor,
Jennifer Jones.
Factory Man, and Joe Swam. These were actually some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Why does Booger Bender make me laugh so much?
I know.
It's funny.
It's also a deaf guy. That's a deaf guy.
It's our only deaf listener.
He's our only deaf listener.
Oh, that's awesome.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Karen Garst, Reza Asghari, and Eliza Ingman. Not one name messed up. Amazing.
You've done a great job, Emery. I'm impressed.
Thank you. It's been
a while
since we've done a show, and I'm back in the groove instantly. It's like riding a horse. It's making me hard.
Never ridden a horse.
It's like riding a godless horse.
Whores or horse?
I'm just going to high five you on that.
Good job, Liza.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know I'm a horse guy. Do you know I like horses?
I mean, you like all animals, but I didn't know you rode horses.
So you didn't know I was a big horseback guy. Huge.
No, everything. I mean, taking
in your
care
gay
of them,
life,
riding them,
I know you're a
them.
Horseback guy.
I have roped cattle in Amarillo.
Woo!
I'm a horseback guy. I know how to throw a fucking Honda.
I've ridden bareback.
So have I.
And fallen off.
Oh, we're talking about horses still?
I was going to say falling off. She's got you beat right there. That's a little bit tougher.
I've been thrown from a bareback. The coolest, most frightening thing that ever happened to me on horseback was a snake scared my horse, and it started full-on running. My saddle wasn't tight enough. I can't bring the horse back under control, and my saddle is sliding underneath the horse.
That is the scariest feeling.
Yeah, it was awful. I've had a lot of weird close calls and throws and things like that, but... this is before you wore helmets for this sort of thing, and I was like sideways on the horse, maybe I don't know, a degree, not literally sideways, because you can't do that, but I'm hanging on thinking, please saddle, stop going, and finally I just had to put my foot on the saddle and kick myself away from a full gallop.
Wow.
And just roll in the grass.
Wow.
Another time, we had some rental horses. My mom tells the story exactly the way I'm going to tell it. My mom is really good at telling a story. I honestly don't know if it's accurate, but in my memory it is. We all know how that happens, even if it's not, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But the way my mom tells the story is, my horse, it's barn sour, and it breaks for the barn at the end of the run, right? At the end of the walk. And we're just, I'm on the back of this horse, this old piece of shit, fucking asshole horse who's full bore straight for the barn, and he falls down. His front legs collapse because he got him in a little gully that he didn't see in the grass, and he goes full down at a full run, and I flip off the horse and land on my feet facing the horse. And the horse stands up in front of me, and I punch it in its jaw.
Is that how she tells the story? Yeah. Is that how it went?
That's how she tells the story. And in my memory, that's what happened. And I was a wiry little asshole kid that could do that kind of acrobatic stuff.
That is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. That story has a little bit of something for everyone.
It does?
It really does.
Horse punching?
A little bit of action, flipping, a little drama, a little comedy, a little love, a little like struggle, some passion.
Comedy and tragedy. And horses.
Yeah, the poor horse got punched.
This is an amazing story.
You punched a horse.
I punched him right in the jaw. Yeah.
He deserved it.
There's no way we could trade horse stories, because the only thing I have is I went on a walk with my brother on like a horse trail on some tourist vacation thing for 3 hours, and his horse in front of me just kept taking shits and mine would step in it. So I just had to smell horse shit for 3 hours. That's so amazing.
Yeah, that's a different story. But we did just trade horse stories, so there you go.
Yeah, but have you ever ridden a camel?
I've not been on a camel.
I've ridden a camel.
I don't count, actually.
No, you don't. Sorry, you're right.
No, hey, I rode a camel in Morocco.
That's pretty awesome.
It was cool.
One hump or two?
It's one or two, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool.
That's pretty cool.
You guys
is it
are
more difficult?
Weird.
How is it like similar to a horse?
Oh, it was just what walking most... in a park. You know, it's not like you're. I was in the Badlands in North Dakota once with my dad looking at some land, and they said, "Oh, we got to get the cattle in." I'm going, "I don't know how to get the cattle in." No, the horse does. So we got there, and the horse is running all over. I'm on top of it and going, "Whoa!" But it
you're
was
incidental
first...
to this process.
Yeah, but it was the first time that I really got the gallop. You know, and I got it, and
it
felt
good
it,
when you land it,
and
doesn't
it? You know when you got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
But when your saddle starts slipping, and you, the only thing holding you on are your thighs, is the scariest. I had this pretty much the same experience where my saddle was slipping in the middle of Utah in this beautiful field of wildflowers. Mm. It was like a Laura Ingalls moment. And my saddle starts to slip at the horse's full gallop, and I'm turning, and I sprained my thighs holding on to this beast because he would not stop. And
It's like when you do bareback. I couldn't walk for the next day. It looked like I'd have all night sex or something. My legs were so sore.
The bruises and the... Yeah. Thank you.
I can't even take credit for it and be like,
sorry,
you would think that my relationship,
thank you, Sparkles.
You would think my relationship would be sealed for life after I tell what happened when I went horseback riding in St. Martin with my new wife, the last person I went through a marriage process with. She was scared to death to ride, but she wanted to. So we went out there, and her horse broke. It just started running. Mm. So I took my horse, and I start smacking it on the ass with my reins, and I run up and catch up to them, and she's in a panic. So I get right next to her, and I just put my arm around her and grab her, and I pull her off the horse and then bring her to a stop because she was in a panic and didn't know how to bring her horse under control.
You need to start every time you meet someone new with your horse stories. Like, this shit is amazing.
So did the horse take the bit in his mouth?
Every new person you meet, just, hi, I'm Emery. I backflipped off of a horse and punched it in its face. Good to meet you.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
But that relationship failed. That's a relationship should have lasted forever.
You saved
sacrificed.
No, you straight up.
That was chivalrous.
Yeah.
You did something straight out of a fucking romance novel. Like, that is amazing.
King Arthur status. Right. Yeah.
It didn't count.
You should have been able to cheat on her, and she should have taken you back. Like, that should have been allowed in that situation.
Yeah, right. That's exactly
you
right.
You are listening to Ardent Horse Enthusiasts. Welcome back to the show.
Nay!
Well, one thing that I knew that relationship was doomed when we both got onto a tandem bike.
A tandem bike?
Yeah.
What's that got to do with a horse?
If you want to know if your relationship stands 1 ounce of chance of surviving...
It's a new test.
Yes. Nobody should get married before they get together with their potential partner and go on a fucking tandem bike ride. Because if you're on a tandem bike and you can't get along, you're doomed. Because it's the easiest thing...
You got to do it together.
You got to do it together.
Yeah.
And
you can't do your own thing.
No. I bought us a tandem bike because I'm a romantic guy. And I painted the fucking thing.
Aww.
And I made it sparkly and perfect. And I took it to the shop and I got it all fixed up and got new tires and got everything oiled.
Wow, I'm impressed.
And we got on that bike and we went. And here's what it was. What are you doing? Why are you leaning? Don't lean. Are you leaning? You're trying to knock us over. You're going to kill us. Why? Get away from the road. You're too far to the left. That was the whole ride. The entire fucking time.
You can do that waltzing too. That can be a test.
Waltzing is a way?
Waltzing is a test, yeah. It's like, who's going to lead?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be a problem.
She was absolutely horrible on a tandem bike. And I said to my best friend at the time, I said, Todd, this relationship's over. We can't get past where we are. This isn't...
I think you should put that on Bumble or Tinder or something.
Yeah.
The test.
Yeah.
First date.
Tandem bike.
Tandem bike. Do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell my son that. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
First date.
All right, Rez. When are we getting our tandem bike?
We're going tandem segways. We're updating it to modern
tandem
times.
Tandem segways.
Got this.
That's so funny. Rez is
lean. I'm 35
honey.
Degrees. You're 38. Move.
Rez is like, honey, we drove over here in a tandem car. Shut the fuck up. I love that Carrie Snow just walked in my house. Karen, I'm going to have you just slide to the left so that she can say hi to the listeners, because when Carrie Snow walks into the house and there's a microphone on, Carrie Snow walks up to the microphone and says something.
I am such a microphone whore.
I know.
And a camera whore.
Yeah.
Many years ago, when I hadn't talked to my mom in a year, I go to her house. I know the security cameras aren't working.
Right.
But I still smiled. So I'm bringing you my...
Out of the blue, I get a text from Carrie, and the text was very, very clear and simple. I'm going to read it to the listeners right now. So out of the blue, Carrie sends me this message. It just warmed my heart. I want to deliver a frozen container of my meat sauce soon. All is good, and I know you're busy. And I replied, best euphemism ever.
Well, because generally I'm calling Emery when I'm panicked. When something horrible has happened to something...
Computer is broken.
To something computer horrible. Yeah. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to do something nice in advance?
Aren't you sweet? Because normally she fills me with cookies.
Now it's meat.
Now we're going for protein.
All right.
Now it's my meat sauce, and it not only... it's got pork in it.
Yeah, I like
pork sausage. Horse meat, though.
No.
We were
no
just talking meat. About horses.
I mean, unless Ralph's is pulling a quickie on it.
It's called Ralph's, for Christ's sake.
And so it's meat sauce, but I also bring a little something to add to it as you're melting it. You don't have to use all this. It's my It's bacon fat.
Oh, ooh. Right.
And you add a little bit to it. So, and I know I use chicken broth in there, so it's got about four different kinds of meat.
Wow.
Oh, man. It's not for our vegetarian friends.
No. Fuck those gay wives.
Anyway, do you want it to go in the fridge?
Yeah,
and
fridge.
It'll naturally
defrost.
Yeah. That's the word.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't make it to roller skating.
Oh, that's okay.
I think my bones are brittle. I just don't think I'm supposed to be doing that.
Speaking of brittle, here's dessert.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie.
Always a pleasure.
Welcome back to Art and Chef.
Art and Chef, yes.
I love it. We've covered some topics today.
Horses, food,
right?
So camels. Yes.
Don't forget camels.
Yes. We haven't even gotten to the toe. So
Do you know that they're actually selling extra padding to make it look like you have a
I've seen that.
That make it look like you do or you don't.
No, you do. It's some new thing now, some new trend.
I'm in vogue.
And saving money on the end.
Yeah, it's some weird new trend now where like they're selling these pads. It's almost like the padding for a bra but for your pants.
Like the booty pop but it's for the front. Pussy pop? I don't know.
Yeah, coochie pop.
Yeah, it's weird looking.
Oh, that's a new one to me.
Why don't you get that the way the rest of us did by getting too fat and losing some weight?
Thank you.
That's how I have my little poofy thing above my cock.
God
damn it.
TMI.
Why do I gain weight above my cock? Could I just gain weight in the cock, please?
I bet a doctor could take care of that.
I don't need that. Okay.
Welcome to Art and Cockiest.
I don't want a bigger cock. Mine fits perfectly where I like to put it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes.
Trying to be polite for Karen.
Hi, Heather.
She doesn't need that.
So, Heather, what exotic animal have you ridden? We've all shared.
His name was.
Pablo. The island man.
I rode a donkey once, and that's not exotic exactly. And it was a horrible experience.
Aww.
You don't like being on four-legged animals?
I got on when I was really little, and I was at my babysitter's. Okay, babysitter's house. For the summer with her son who molested me, and they had camels and he dared me to get on it, so I did. I got on camels.
You meant donkeys.
Donkeys. Donkeys. I got on a donkey and then he snapped a twig behind me.
Oh no! On purpose, so it would
on
run.
Purpose.
It took off. And it took off.
Yeah. So it took
God
off.
Damn it! That's deadly.
Yeah, so I wasn't ready for it, you know, and so I was very upset because I was scared the shit out of me.
He did that and fucked you?
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Supreme asshole.
He was a pretty bad person. I think he's in jail now. Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Not only did he scare my donkey, I had to see his dick.
My molester's dead. My molester killed himself.
That's always a plus.
Just recently. It was really great.
I guess it'd be the other way around, though. Was it a cathartic experience? Not only did I have to see his dick, he also scared my donkey.
God. Is your molester still alive?
I feel like I need to go get a molester.
You don't
I feel
have
out
one?
Of, no, unfortunately,
do you have one?
I don't.
Mine's dead.
Is he dead?
She's dead.
She's dead. Cool. Did you have one, or do you want to shut up about this? Pointing at Karen.
Didn't have one.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Me and Karen. Let's go find molesters after the show. We'll grab a couple of people. Like, hey, what are you doing right now?
I can introduce you.
Let's not.
Yeah. Right.
I'll pass on that one.
I apologize. I'm on my own. I'm going to start calling my uncles and be like, was I not cute enough? What's the deal?
No. I know, right?
I was an adorable child. If you saw me, I'm like, what's going on? What did I have to... I was an adorable six-year-old with an above-average six-year-old penis.
I've seen the pictures.
What does a guy got to do?
I'd have fucked you.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, please. I should have maybe gone to Christian. Maybe it was because I was Muslim. If I was Christian, I definitely would have gotten fucked by somebody.
I wonder, do they have that in the Muslim culture? I mean, I know
I'm sure they do. You know,
Spanish culture has a lot of molestation.
Regardless of culture, there's creepy people in all cultures.
Yeah.
So I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm amazed that it still continues to go on so pervasively today. It's really it blows my mind.
Oh,
it's
really
bizarre. So.
Well, it's such an open thing, especially like in Hollywood. People talk about it so openly and about people who are creeps and molest like younger kids.
We're in an honesty bubble in Hollywood. I mean, the arts that brings that out. You know what I mean? And that's a thing that happens. But the sound of that music suggests that that's it for the free hour. This has been the free version of episode 201. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Karen Garst, Reza Asghari, and Eliza. See, I messed one up. Eliza Engman. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Harndersklans.
Thanks.
And our video switcher, Heather Klanjastonks.
Thanks a bunch.
Tune in next time when our guest will be.
What guest?
And we'll be talking about.
What?
I wonder if our next show will actually just be at the Gateway to Reason when we're doing one in June there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so come out to Gateway to Reason if you want to see us in person and shake our hands or maybe cup my nuts. I will be in St. Louis. I think it's sometime in June. You can look up online and check that out. Anyway, I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Fast Runner Swam.
Where can people find you, Reza?
Twitter at Reza Asghari. Facebook, the same thing, Reza Asghari.
Eliza.
Twitter and Instagram at Biddy Becky.
Biddy Becky. And where can people find you and your book?
All you have to do is check for Women Beyond Belief, Discovering Life Without Religion, or just Google Faithless Feminist. You'll find me.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.